I know people who can imitate animals. Can the voter do that, too?
Oh, pretty well. For instance, here's voter's imitation of a cow.
How can it be practically applied?
Well, Dr. Caldwell, we don't anticipate any commercial use for the voters. It was built for an educational exhibit for the New York World's Fair and San Francisco Exposition. However, it is a byproduct of developments that we are going on and doing in the Bell Telephone Laboratory.
Or I could just, like, not do any of that.
Just say, Wes, write my program for me.
You could, I know what you could do. You could go to work claiming you're a really, really sophisticated developer, and then you could get on Upwork and just hire to do it for a third of what you're getting paid for. And then
sounds
you would
good.
Come across looking like spectacular when you didn't do anything at all.
I am a people manager. That is what I do.
You're a people manager?
People? I'm a people manager. Yes.
What size are your hands?
Average.
Okay.
Because you know what that means, don't you?
That my is bigger than Trump's?
That your Trump's
Trump's.
Trump's Trump.
No, but his hands are this.
So he said my there's Trump's Trump.
Stump.
Trump's Trump stump. My Trump's Trump stump.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Wes.
And I'm the world famous Mark Burnet.
And Steve-O.
But not that Steve-O. You always have to have a disclaimer at the beginning of the show. He's a different Steve-O.
But I'm older than that guy.
Okay. You did say that.
He needs to have a disclaimer for me.
That's right. Because it's the authoritative Steve-O.
That's right.
Wah! Right.
We get together once a week to talk about tech and offer insights that you can only get here on slurpcast.com.
Don't even try to get them anywhere else.
Yeah. You cannot get them from anyone else but Steve. Oh.
Yeah. If you come to my house, I could show you all kinds of things. And we could put it on audio.
We could do video if you really wanted.
So that's we're not talking about that podcast, Steve.
Oh. Okay.
We're talking about the Slurpcast podcast.
Nice.
That's right.
We should do that.
Yeah, we are doing it right now.
Excellent.
Good.
So Mark,
so we kind of specialize in trying to relate old technology to the latest things or look for the roots of there's something really modern, try to go back and find some roots of it maybe 100 years ago where someone was experimenting with that idea kind of.
Okay. Like,
actually have a good item today for that.
Okay.
Okay, you know how we have text-to-speech or talking machines and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well, hold on. Let me find the article.
I got mine.
Say, I forgot what year it was.
Oh.
11. What the fuck?
1846, maybe?
Yeah, was it? Okay, that's what I meant, yeah.
Okay.
The creepy talking head.
We've actually talked before.
Really scary, by the way.
We've actually talked before about something similar to this, but in the 1930 or 40 or something.
Okay.
But in 1846, a guy in France made a talking robotic head with ringlets for its hair, trying to make it look realistic.
Uh-huh.
It was just a stupid doll with some ringlets in its hair.
It looked really creepy in the picture. Seriously, like horror movie creepy.
But then he had a keyboard where he could do phoning kind of things, but using like, this was before electronics, so he would have had to use air pressure or something to make different sounds.
Okay.
There were organ pipes that did that too. There's organ pipes called Vox Humana that kind of make different types of human-like sounds.
So it looks like it was played very much like the original vocoder, have a...
The voter, yeah.
The voter, the vocoder, or, yeah, the voter, you're right.
Right. Yeah, we've talked about that years ago on other shows, but...
Yeah.
But this is like 100 years earlier, this guy did this. The doll really had nothing to do with it, I don't think. Well, maybe...
Well, the mouth opened, I think.
Yeah.
It did have some, like, it moved its creepy...
Which just made it even more creepy that a severed head is making.
Right.
It looks like it would be creepy if you saw it talking.
Unfortunately, this is before movies or anything, so there's certainly no moving pictures of it.
Yeah. And what would it talk in several different European languages. So.
Only because what the guy is not typing in text, he's just typing in phonemes. You know, the guy at the keyboard is controlling the sounds that come out of it.
Right.
Not a language, so they'll talk anything at all.
The voter actually had controls that people would learn to use to make vowel sounds, and it too was all like analog. I mean, there was no like this was way.
But
before.
The voter was at least electric. Yeah. At least electric amplifiers and electricity making the noises.
That's right. Okay.
But back then, this guy is doing totally mechanically. So I'm not sure if it was the mouth itself that had the sound generators, or whether it's just pipe organ kind of stuff. Right. In the way behind the back.
I wonder if we can make it do the Gene Kelly little song and dance. You know, Moses supposes his toeses were roses.
It says...
probably could have. It would be very, very bad. I'm sure its quality was so bad you'd have a hard time understanding that. But the voters knew enough. The voter there was tape recording and stuff at the time.
Oh, my God. I totally want to see one of Trump's rambling speeches
done
by this thing.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
People would be like, oh, it just must be some random words typed in. No, that's actually the real Trump quote.
So it was called the Euphoria?
Yeah, Euphonia.
Oh, Euphonia. Yeah. Okay. 25 years of research.
In 1939, had a kind of electronic equivalent of it called the Voter, done by Bell Labs. And if you look at our show notes on slurpcast.com, or our new Facebook page, called Slurpcast, believe it or not.
Or on our new Facebook page.
Right. Which is free. Which is free for you to go to.
What is it? www.facebook.com/slurpcast?
Right.
Okay. Love us. Yeah. Or at least like us and press the button.
No, press the heart button. The one that's got the love.
Right.
No.
Yeah, if you like the page, you'll not only get our show notes, but you'll get a whole bunch of other crap that I post every day, just entertaining stupid things. But having to do with technology?
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah, it'll keep you occupied, and it'll make your neighbors love you.
That's right.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, because I was about to start blasting that from my bedroom, since I live in the front of the house, and that would actually work.
Yeah. Homer Dudley made the Bell Labs 1939 voter.
Right,
and that actually has recordings that you can listen to.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's pretty freaky as well, because that was pre-computer era. And it's a speech synthesizer, basically. Hey,
but again, only by phonemes. It doesn't in any way understand words. The operator would press buttons to type phonemes into it.
It was done with controls. Like they hired, they taught people, specifically women, how to control these controls to make phonemes. So you could literally have it stretch out a word. You could get it to say, hi.
Hey, you have a high pitch. Low pitch and high pitch,
right?
And stuff.
And do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
and the video that's on there will kind of show that.
Yeah, so I always thought that was the first one, and it turns out there's this doll from 100 years earlier doing the same thing. Yeah.
But there's no audio.
Those sound basically as cool as like one of the last dates I had. was the longest conversation she had.
Okay.
You know what,
you had to push her buttons to get in.
If I got to push her buttons, we'd still be on the date.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Boom boom.
We are not out of the realm of pornography in this show.
Mental pornography.
So my article has nothing to do with how do I segue into this?
Just do it.
Right. Google I/O is coming 2016. Bunch of new things are going to be introduced.
Are they giving out free stuff this year?
I don't know.
Some years, if you go to it, which is very hard to actually go to it, they give out huge amounts of free stuff, but they don't always...
I like free stuff.
I like free stuff
as well. One year they gave out like $1,000 worth of computers
they gave out
and
a Pixel.
Tablets and all kinds of stuff.
Didn't they give out the Pixel and something else, too? Yeah. And then also the Q... Like, or what was it called? That little media player?
Made phones, made the latest
Android
phones.
Yeah, it was like three different high, like $300 and up price devices. So,
well, Pixel's like $1,100 or something.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't worth it, but it's a Chromebook, but a really high-end Chromebook.
Oh,
Chromebook's
okay.
Normally like $100, but they did a really high-quality one for like $1,100 with a touch screen and stuff.
So it was a laptop.
Kind of.
Well, it was a dumb, sort of a dumber laptop, but it used the internet to give you access to.
Right.
Well, basically the whole thing was running under Chrome. It was a Chrome browser, basically. You just use the Chrome browser to do anything. They're still pretty popular, especially in the educational market right now today.
Chromebooks or this special one?
Chromebooks. No, Chromebooks. Yeah.
Right.
So this the conference is going to be held between May 18th and 20th in the Shoreline Amphitheater located in Mountain View, California, right near the Google headquarters. Just to go over some of the highlights of what's going to be shown is the Android N, which is going to be the new new Google Android operating system. So right now we're on Marshmallow is the latest one, and it'll go to this. We don't know what N is going to
see. When does this happen? Because nobody I know has the 6, the Marshmallow.
I have
We all do.
I have it.
No, if you have a Nexus.
On what?
If you get a Nexus.
I have it on my Samsung Galaxy 6 as well as my Nexus tablet.
If you get a Nexus phone or tablet, though, those will automatically be upgraded to everything. That's the whole point.
Well, we know my story. I like HTC and...
Right. Well...
Then you don't like Marshmallow.
I don't have 6 on my Samsung phone, by the way. Right. I have it on my watch, believe it or not, Android Wear.
Okay.
This one right here, and the Nexus tablet.
Now, does it do any good having 6 versus 5 versus 4.4?
Biggest thing is the Doze feature.
Yeah.
It saves battery power by halting applications that you don't use. So
That's nice.
Makes a huge difference on my original Motorola 360.
Yeah, they always make this big deal about it, but when the new version comes out and my Nexus upgrades to it, I can hardly tell the difference.
Yeah. I mean, for what I do.
Partly because I'm using a different shell. Wait, what's it called? I'm using a different launcher than the default one, so my home screen isn't generated by Android directly. Mm. And that's where most of the differences are, I guess.
So, what's up with N?
Yeah.
So, there's no word on what the name stands for, N.
It'll be desserts. All Android versions are named after desserts.
So, they're thinking Nutella. It might stand for Nutella.
Right.
But I don't know of whatever is expected to be in the NOS, although they're speculating it's going to be major because it's been such a long time between versions.
Right. Has it?
Apparently it's
when
been
did Marshmallow come
like
out?
2 years or something?
It's been a while. Nexus has got a while. Not 2 years, really. But
no.
The update we made it given that it will now be 2 years since the search engine giant unveiled a new refreshed version of the Android OS, is what this article says. It certainly doesn't feel that way.
That may have been the very first...
6 was not out when I bought this phone.
It's possible that what they're talking about
a year ago,
what they're talking about in the article is probably when it was announced.
Right.
So if version 6 was announced 2 years ago and then only recently came out or whatever.
But not all 6s are Marshmallow, though. The same number can correspond to multiple letters because the letters are a little bit fine-grained, so...
Okay, so that's just one thing we can expect to see.
Also, the article talks about a beta of it that's publicly available.
Really? Okay.
But I don't know if it'll actually work on any real devices where you have to compile it for your, as a developer, compile it for your device or something.
So VR is something that's was really strong at CES, and that's also going to be strong here at Google I.O., and there's speculation that Google's going to announce a standalone headset.
Yeah.
We're not sure. But it might materialize.
You know, rubber band to hold the cardboard to your head?
Right. Or a viewfinder. Like it'll have the ViewMaster thing, you know?
Yeah, they do. Well, if you look at the Google store, they have a VR section of their store now.
Okay.
It has cardboard, the VR, the ViewMaster. Then it has something kind of like the frame of cardboard, but without the cardboard, just like a plastic frame.
Huh.
All these tech companies keep coming out with names for things that sounds like Avengers villains.
Yeah.
Oculus.
It's trying to be.
Oh no, it's Oculus taking over the city.
I can tell you where Nexus, the name, comes from.
Where?
Ready?
Yeah.
Blade Runner.
Okay.
Right. I actually put a meme that they went from Nexus 5 to Nexus 7 and they skipped Nexus 6 because Nexus 6 is banned on Earth.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. No, but there are Nexus 6s now because the Nexus are named by the screen size, so. You just didn't happen to have a 6-inch one.
Yeah, there's a 6P. You're right. The 6P is out.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the meme has to be redone, but still.
That's funny. Speaking of that, after the virtual reality section in this article, Nexus 7 is pronounced, is brought up. Nexus 7 2016 version. So Mark and I have a Nexus 7, from the original, or at least we did.
Yeah.
And I still have mine. And then there's the Nexus 7 2014 edition, and now there's the 2016 edition. That's
Yeah, because the 2014 one, I think, isn't going to go beyond Marshmallow. I think N will not work on it.
Oh, really?
Okay. I remember seeing that sometime back, the Marshmallow was going to be the last one.
Huh.
I'll buy the 2016 one.
Yeah, I probably will, too.
Sure.
Let's see here. So Google first launched...
I'll buy anything. I don't care.
Oh, first launched the 7-inch Nexus 7 tablet back in 2012.
Right.
That was when we first got it. Last update... The last update came the following year, and if the latest speculations materialize, this device might make a comeback at the Google I.O. 2016. However, Google might drop the original partner, Asus, in favor of a newly acquired partner in the shape of Huawei for the Nexus 7.
Yeah, that's perfectly possible because Google does have different partners for each Nexus line.
Right. The Huawei phones have been pretty popular.
Really?
Right. Yeah, they actually started making a bunch of T-Mobile phones under the T-Mobile brand.
T-Soft mic once bought one.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because it was really cheap as well.
Huh. If you go to the Google store and you get yourself a Nexus 6P, the phone, brand new phone, there's some deal that they're offering for the Huawei Android Wear watch as well.
Okay.
The nice thing about that watch is that it has a speaker. Okay. So with the latest update.
As all Apple watches have always had.
Well, so with the 6 update, Marshmallow, for Android Wear, you get to be able to answer and talk to people who call you.
But through Bluetooth, you don't have the standalone cellular version? Or?
Right.
So you've now become Dick Tracy.
So you now can talk back and forth.
As Apple watches always could.
You mean in the last 2 years of their existence. Right. Yes, exactly. Speaking of Apple watches, so the whole lawsuit with the government now intending to smear us in digital privacy fight with FBI. Apparently, they've turned rather grumpy towards each other because normally, you know, lawyers and everything, they're all like keeping the peace while the CEOs say mean stuff. But it seems to have gone the other way. Apple said federal prosecutors are offensive, desperate, and intended to smear them in a remarkable escalation of the digital privacy fight between America's most valuable company and the FBI.
I think it's all basically them trying to figure out who has the bigger schlong.
Right.
It's huge. I guarantee you it's not a problem.
Ours is so big, so large. We don't have to. We don't even need to. We don't
it's
have
huge.
To go in.
We don't need the FBI to find it because it's huge.
We're not going to need to open up our phone, and we're not going to need to go into it. We promise.
Okay, so one of the problems with this is that the FBI is claiming that they're being hypocritical because China, when they sell other phones in there, has stored data and everything else to basically spy on its own people. And the federal government's like, but you can't open up one friggin' phone?
Right. Well, there's rumor that the federal government can do it and that they always could have hack it, but that they're doing this to set precedent.
Right. Well, apparently Apple used to cooperate with them just fine until it became public.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, there was some kind of article or some statement that was made that said that Apple and the feds were talking about this before the feds went public with it. And because the feds went public, Apple reversed its stance.
The motion to the feds that the feds submitted to the judge has complete details about how you would write a program with complete specifications for it.
Right.
And it looked like the Apple engineers must have given them that because how would the FBI know that exact specification to do it?
Yeah. Interesting.
And I saw something once. I'll see if I can find it again.
Well, Tim's letter that he posted on the site talks about how they have usually given information back to the feds. But
he only admitted they did that with the older phones that didn't have such good security.
Right. That's true, yeah.
But the way of breaking the modern ones that the FBI asked the judge to do, sure looks like an Apple engineer wrote that paragraph describing what the program would be.
Okay.
And apparently, I read something at some point that Apple was kind of willing to do it, but they didn't want to do it on their own responsibility. They wanted a judge to order it.
Okay.
So they could use that as an excuse later about why they did it.
Okay.
So they asked the judge to let them file the motion under seal so the whole thing would be totally private, but they could pull out this court order if they needed to later.
Okay.
But then the judge didn't want to keep it private, so all of a sudden it got out in the public, and then Apple had to oppose it.
The
other thing that Apple is now saying they're worried about is that the government could make them do that. The government can also make them write a special version of the OS that opens the microphone and the camera all day long to, you know, if the government has the right to order them to write special software, the government can also order them to write special software that opens up your camera and microphone
right.
that they can tap any time without you being aware of it.
Right.
That's another excuse that they don't want to do it.
Well, there's other – yeah, there's other there's speculation that that's something that, that Apple at least has the has the control to do right now.
Maybe.
Because they can download they can do the auto updates, which in a way is a backdoor to the phone. Yeah. They know whose phone they must have the unique identifier of each phone that's out there to be able to push those sort of notifications and things to it. So it's not unreasonable to think that they have the ability if they wanted to turn on the camera.
Normally iPhones ask you if you want to do the update, then it's just automatically updated, but
maybe they
do in certain situations, I'm not sure.
Right. I don't even the whole thing is like push notifications. There's any push notification that comes from, unless it's from the app that's installed on the phone itself, which is possible, they know whose phone you know, it is, so that to send the push notifications to. So and they can get there and have software controlled. But so there's a backdoor is what the current like conversation has talked about in this lawsuit and that does exist. But I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't bode well if the DOJ if they actually force Apple to open up this one particular phone because it exposes everyone's phone.
Not directly, because Apple would install the special software only on this one phone.
Right.
But the fact that they admit it's possible and they know how to do it
means somebody will get a hold of that or figure out a way to do it.
The jailbreakers will figure it out.
Sure. Or somebody inside the company, I said this before, will get paid a whole lot of money to release that code under the table or on a, USB key.
Oh, right.
I mean, you know, it's just...
But iPhones don't have USB.
But the actual side-loading application or OS could be fit on a USB key and side-loaded.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just speculating. It's in a way, it's protecting users' data. Oh, I know somebody who compared it. So, like, I guess it was on Twit, where a journalist was comparing this to somebody's memory or somebody's brain, like an extension of the brain, and saying, what does the government legally have the access, have the rights to? And that's one area that's safe, a safe zone. That is your brain, your memory. There's no way they can
just torture you. You'll tell.
Right. True.
Right.
But if you see a phone as an extension of somebody's memory, then
how could that be?
No, but then legally though, a diary would be also. You can certainly search someone's diary.
Well, sure,
you'd need a warrant for that kind of stuff because it's private information.
Right.
But
if you choose not to give that information out and it's in your head, then you're not going to, then they can't get it from you.
Right.
Is the point.
As my friend who was in Vietnam said, when they wanted to get information, they would take two friends who had the information, they'd take them up in a helicopter and dangle one of them out and ask, what's the secret? And he would refuse. They'd let him go and drop him. And then they'd ask the other one. The other one would suddenly give them the information. It wasn't a big deal. They could get passwords that way. They could get anything they wanted.
Okay. So, are we really at war?
Sure.
War with an Apple iPhone, maybe. I don't know.
War with a precedent.
Android!
War with the boundaries of what's private versus not, maybe.
Right. Well, I basically think that a phone is property where you store personal data.
Yeah. Right.
So it should always be available if you've committed a crime and they get a warrant.
Okay.
I don't see what the problem is.
Right.
You know.
It's encrypted. No, but you don't necessarily have to give them the encryption key, though. There's lots of precedent.
No, Steve is of the mindset that if the authorities need access to pursue a crime to your phone, they should have access.
Right. But there should be a built-in federal government system. Like, nobody can get your phone records unless they have a warrant. And then, sure, they show it, and Bob's your uncle. They print up everything you've talked about for 1,000 years. There should be. Every phone manufactured in the United States has to have this, you know, built in so that other people could not crack this phone, all the security you want. Mm. But there should be a way for the feds, under a warrant.
He wants a back door.
Yeah, but the Apple and the other companies all claim that if you put that in, other people will discover it. Just the whole way encryption and everything works, you can't really keep it that secret if you let some people have it.
Yeah, any entryway or any door into the data is breaking privacy. Because
that's not true at all.
Just because it's the government who has that key doesn't stop somebody else from
getting a hold of it. You don't have a right to privacy when the government seeks a warrant. Your privacy is gone because you've committed a crime or some such.
Right.
Right. So saying, oh, but they don't have time to break your phone. Yeah, nope. They should be able to do that because they do it in everything else. And if you know what? If you wanted to break into AT&T's system, you could find my phone records too.
Yeah.
But you know what? You should not expect to have unencumbered privacy on your phone. It's an object that you use to call other people, that you use to share notes, that you use to spread this information about. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can't expect it to be total privacy object, you know?
This is America. We have a right to our privacy.
Yeah, capital M, America.
But I also understand the person who feels that could be abused and they could use that method of accessing phones, data, when that person has not committed a crime. And then the other view I've heard is the fact that way of getting into the phone when that person has committed a crime, the fact that exists means that other people, not just the government, could use that same method to get into other phones.
And think about other countries where people store private data. That's not illegal necessarily, but it would get them killed if it got out and stuff.
So? Yeah. I didn't say another country.
No. Well, how do you...
In this country, you could basically say the FBI could talk to the Congress and say, look, every phone now sold starting, you know, in 6 months, so the next model year, has to have, even if it's a hard thing, so not just like... through the air typing it in. You actually have to physically have the phone.
Okay.
You know, some kind of, if you have to stick in a USB to make it happen or some shit in the back, you know, whatever. There has to be a way to break it in every fold sold. I mean, that's, we have cars with every single body part has a ID on it. So we know what happened. The only place we don't do that is guns, but that's another story.
So that's where the articles and that's where the conversations that I've heard have turned in that the people who are smart and intelligent and know about this say that the government probably had a way in to the phone in the very beginning, because there are other methods of getting access to that data, even if you get an image off of the phone itself and you store it away.
Apparently they might be dangerous. If it revolves on soldering chips and stuff, it might be just dangerous that you lose all the data if you're not careful enough.
The irony about me taking this rather hard stand on being able to look in your phone is contrary to my stand on personal information in general in the United States. In Europe, for example, your personal information is yours.
Right.
Nobody else's. Right. Not the phones, not the banks, not the phone companies, nobody. So they can never sell your information to another company without your first permission.
Yeah.
And they can't put if you want to use this credit card, then you have to allow us to sell your information. They can't do that.
Okay. But the police, if they stop you, can get you to stick your thumb on the phone to open it up.
Right.
So that they can have access to the data in your phone.
That's why you're
I don't know
off.
That yet, but
yeah, they do it. They do. I don't know.
That's why it might be better off. Like on the Apple stuff, you can have the fingerprint for everything else, but not to unlock the phone.
So
it might be wise.
That they can do that. But if your phone is turned off, you can refuse to turn it on. Right?
Really?
Well, you can refuse.
I don't know all these laws.
Turning it on is trivial, but you don't have to type a password unless, certainly without a judge ordering.
They can get you to use your thumbprint to unlock it or open it up, but
because that's not testimonial, it's not you talking or something.
Okay,
it's like having you open the safe.
Yeah, and if you one argument is, it's a phone that can store personal information, but you choose whether or not to store that personal information there. And if you choose to do it, then you are at the whim of the government or the police when they stop you. In other words, don't store naked pictures of yourself on your phone if you don't want the police to see it.
I'll be right back. Got to delete some stuff.
I mean, that's one approach.
Right.
Is that if you don't really want the government or anybody to have access to your private and personal information, don't put it on the cloud, don't put it on your phone.
Yeah.
Or some of us just don't care.
What?
I'm not a billionaire. Nobody's right. trying to hack my stuff.
But when you become
my
a billionaire,
$2 I have in my bank account, they, you know,
when you have a lot of money and a lot of women trying to like, you know, go after you,
like Trump, I guarantee,
or a lot of men, because we're, you know, a multifaceted podcast.
Not my way, but I,
you know,
absolutely not against it.
Okay, love is love.
You know,
I'll take the groupies, male and female.
As Seinfeld said, then that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that.
All right. What's next on the docket? I mean, podcast list of episodes.
Well, I know that there's this new fuel cell technology that's coming out to replace batteries.
Didn't we talk about this in the last?
Did we?
Well, we talked about the general need for a revolution in battery technology.
Well, there might be hope yet in the form of new fuel cell technology that claims to power handsets up to a week.
Right, right. Yeah, they've been talking about that stuff for a long time, and maybe it'll be about to happen.
Well, we have to go to South Korea to figure it out.
Right.
If it's in another country, it's bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Probably.
Yeah. Whenever you see an article that says, in Russia.
This is from Uber Gizmo.
Okay.
Ooh. Whoever they are.
Ooh.
Okay.
If you pour gasoline on your head and then rub your phone on your head, it'll get charged.
What? That
I'm going to spark my hair on fire?
No, you plug prongs into...
No, that's Trump when he lies.
His hair jumps up, does a complete circle, and sits back
that's
down.
That's the reason it looks that way. Cause it's,
actually, he does that when he tells the truth, which is why it doesn't move.
Okay.
Wow. All right, so what's this article you have about broadband subsidiary for the poor?
Oh, yeah. You know how you have... what's Lifeline?
Yeah.
And then basic telephone service.
Is this Obamaphone?
Yeah. Well, Obamaphones are the cell phone version of it, but for decades there's been a Lifeline for poor people to at least get a cheap landline.
Right, okay.
And, yeah, the Obamaphone is kind of the equivalent of that for cell phones, where people can get a really cheap or free cell phone if they're poor enough.
Okay.
So now they're talking about the same sort of thing, but for broadband. That you'll be able to get, if someone's poor, they'll be able to get really cheap actual broadband internet service up to some who knows what speed.
Okay. Up to.
It's all proposals right now, so who knows how it'll actually work out. But
interesting. Yeah. Huh. Not sure how I feel about that. Isn't broadband is it a necessity or is it a luxury?
It kind of is a necessity nowadays.
Really?
Isn't it kind of?
Well, it's like,
don't kids need it to do their homework and do school
I guess stuff. You're right, because more and more companies are doing like production, or they're doing like support and tech support over the internet and less on the phone.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, I haven't really thought about that aspect of it.
Yeah, suppose the poor people want to buy their Cadillac. How are they going to buy their Cadillac without being able to go online and study the different models of the Cadillac?
They could use their Obamaphone to purchase it over the phone.
Right.
Exactly.
Or if they're just lazy and they're sitting around at home because they refuse to work and they're just all lazy.
That's
you know
me.
How poor people are.
That's me.
Yeah. Right. Then how are they going to watch their porn and watch their cat videos if they're sitting home all day if they don't have any money?
That's right. Okay, that's true. Yeah. Or how are they going to download BitTorrent, you know, movies?
They can't afford movies. Right. So they have to download them. Yeah, exactly. See?
I like that.
I understand.
So when is this going into is this just
it's just proposal.
A proposal? Okay. Yeah. I don't think it's going to fly.
Right.
But.
It might.
I don't know.
Well, see, when America's great again, everyone will automatically be able to afford broadband anyway. This won't be an issue.
Right. There's going to be no poor people because Trump's going to make America great again.
Right.
And deport the.
Well, those aren't Americans.
Oh, yeah. Right. Fair enough. Why are the dead Kennedys popping into mind? We gotta kill the poor. Wait. Kill the poor. Okay.
Somebody posted in a very, it's becoming a more popular YouTube channel, YouTube group, which is the Barrier Rapid Transit. I forget what it's called. It's
Bart.
It's no. The channel is. Sorry, that was good. You both did that like it was like stereo.
In Bart Idiots Hall of Fame.
Yes, Bart Idiots Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
What?
Somebody posted
the YouTube. Yeah, it's a Facebook.
You are
page.
Not a part of that. You should join. Oh my gosh, that's crazy things happen. Like people take pictures.
This is Facebook or YouTube?
Yeah, it's Facebook.
Facebook.
People take pictures and post to this group on Facebook of people falling asleep, throwing up, pooing on the seats.
We're taking up two handicapped seats. And taking up four seats.
It's,
you're lying down, taking up four seats somehow.
It's raw entertainment, right, is what it is. Right. It's like, anyway. So somebody was posting about how if Trump becomes president, BART is going to become some sort of vehicle to export people who get caught as non-Americans.
No, the Hyperloop could build a Hyperloop all the way to San Diego, and then that could be used for that.
That's cool. It doesn't even have to. It doesn't even have to have a station at the end. You could just have the Hyperloop just stop and eject people.
Don't even
out
have
of
cars. Just have them people drive directly in the tube. Yeah.
Just have it eject people out into like Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because that's what he wants to do.
Sure. He doesn't really want to do that. That's just the opening of negotiation. He's not really going
to
do that.
According to Scott Adams.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we already went over that, but you might want to talk a little bit more about.
Yeah, Scott Adams, author of all the Dilbert stuff, has a blog where he talks about Trump a lot. He's very impressed with Trump as a communicator.
Okay.
He's not endorsing Trump as for his policies or anything. He just thinks Trump is such a great communicator. He finds him interesting.
Okay.
And he apologized for every time Trump says something outrageous. Scott Adams says why it's not so outrageous and why it makes sense.
Okay.
If you think about Trump, the businessman, the negotiator,
okay,
his outrageous things may just be the beginnings of a negotiation. He's not really going to insist on those exact things.
Right. For what he wants and what he's asking for, what he's asking for is beyond what he wants.
Far
because
beyond,
because he knows he's not going to get it.
Right. That's why any proper negotiation was something someone of Trump's skill would do. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Steve-O.
I'm looking at pictures from BART Idiot's Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the ones that annoy me on there, if someone takes the train from the airport and they have some luggage, people will complain about them. Look at this idiot taking up all the space on the train with his stupid luggage. I always answer those and say, we spent billions and billions of dollars bringing BART into the airports, so why shouldn't they bring luggage on it? Isn't that what?
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. I
there's
mean,
a turd.
Yeah.
Somebody took a turd.
That's right.
Right.
On the cloth seat.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why there's no more cloth seats.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not right.
The class of people, either over the years, since this thing started in the 70s, has degraded to the point where people are taking turds in the seats, causing BART to actually have to use plastic ones.
Right.
Although they admit they were competing with cars in the 70s.
And they got rid of the carpet on the floor, too.
Yeah.
They don't have a...
It's not this rough material.
Kind of, tile kind of a thing.
And now, the next cars are going to only have one row of seats on the side?
They already have one. I wrote on a prototype one
did you?
That.
Okay.
Yeah. It kind of half makes sense. The aisle is so much wider, and you only lose, like, six seats or something. It wasn't really that... It almost seemed like a worthwhile in a way.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Muni started to do that. Actually, maybe it was a Muni streetcar where I saw that. I know I saw that somewhere.
Huh. Okay. Speaking of VR, we're talking a little bit more about virtual reality and the Google I.O.
Right.
What's this thing about PC Magazine, ISS astronauts?
That's the Microsoft HoloLens. You know, the HoloLens, it's not really VR, but you see through it and it projects things virtually, the objects that aren't really there.
Yeah.
In your field of view.
Okay.
So the astronauts are going to try that out in space to see if it would be useful to them to see a virtual reality thing imposed on their view.
Okay.
To have instructions for what to do or something.
It's overlaid onto what they're seeing.
Right.
Now, at this point, HoloLens is still just a developer's package. I mean, you can order it from Microsoft as a developer. So it's not a consumer level device yet.
No, the space... But that could still be appropriate to try out in space, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
If the batteries last long enough.
Yeah, but depending on what the astronauts are doing with it, probably would.
Okay. Or I guess they could power it if it needed to be powered.
Or if they go out for a spacewalk, and the actual reality of them is the soundstage in Arizona, because they're not really up in space, as everyone knows.
Right. Exactly, because we never went to the moon.
So the HoloLens could project pictures of the Earth and the moon above them and stuff like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or they could just, when they're in space, instead of repairing the satellite, they're actually watching Netflix.
Oh, right. That's true.
I mean, that's one use.
Yeah. Or porn or kitten videos.
Sure, kitten videos.
Right. To remind them of home, you know.
Aw.
That'd be true. Yeah, they sit in their astronaut chair and they could pet a virtual cat sitting in their lap.
And when they get stranded in the space shuttle or in the spaceship that they're in out in space and they run out of food and they're like starving, they can project pictures of like corn.
Trump steaks.
Oh, Trump steaks.
Is that what?
Steve's being entertained. Steve-O's being entertained by the friggin', you know, YouTube Bart Idiots Hall of Fame.
Actually, I'm chatting with a new woman on one of my dating apps.
Okay. Can you please enlighten us on the status of your dating?
Well, I mean, literally, it was the first thing, and I said, "Do you like motorcycles?" And she goes, "Huh, sounds like a plan for a city hike." And she says, "Yes, I love them. I own one." So I went like, "Oh, well, hello."
I not only like them, I own one.
Yes. Yeah. And so I am
setting up.
Writing back.
So in other words, you're going to ignore the show. That's fine. That's fine.
We start talking about tech. I don't know anything about tech. I'm just here for comic relief.
you know some stuff about tech. What are you talking about?
Apparently, I got the dating app going.
You got the Slack stuff installed. Right. You got the dating app going.
Yeah, I do all by myself.
You didn't need any help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. He found Bart Idiot's Hall of Fame.
Oh, my God. That was great. I was looking at that for like 5 minutes. That was terrific. I looked up and I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. That was awesome.
You all should check that out. It's pretty disgusting and funny.
Really, if you're in the Bay Area.
Even if you're not in the Bay Area, it's pretty disgusting. Actually, what's funny is people have compared what's on Bart's Idiot's Hall of Fame with stuff that happens in New York. And they're yeah, it's no comparison.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. You got people who aren't even wearing clothes getting on the train in New York.
Sure.
What?
You know, I used to live in New York for 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, man, Grand Central Station. I was out there for a while as well.
I don't think I've ever had sex on the train, but
why would you want to?
I'm sure I've thought about it.
You got to question every surface on the train in New York.
Well, you're not sitting down.
Okay, well, that's a little safer.
You know, you just got one stink hand. Toxic. The one that's touching the pole.
Toxic.
Wait, that was dirty.
Yeah, that's gross.
You know, okay, here's the story. Another article on this site said that Bart is the second germiest metro system in the country.
Okay.
So
what's
when
the
I was a little
first?
Kid, I didn't open New the article.
Probably,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably
New York.
Yeah. I used to suck my thumb when I was a little kid. Many kids do. But I did it till I was like 17. No, I did it till I was probably a year or two longer than most little kids did, right?
Well,
so
you know.
I went to New York, which we did every 3 years or so, to visit relatives. So we went to see Starlight Express, the Broadway show on roller skates.
Okay.
And on the way back, we're waiting for the train, you know, the subway. And the rat rant runs by, and it looks like a primordial ooze in between the tracks, you know, because this is like the late 70s, you know, graffiti on everything.
Sure.
And my mom's like, look at the ground. Look in between the tracks. Look at this train. Touched a pole. Good. Put your thumb in your mouth. I dare you.
Whoa.
I dare you.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Good for your mom.
Do it.
Yeah.
And I was literally fighting it back like an addiction. I had to hold one hand to hold the other one to keep me from putting my thumb in my mouth. Okay. Needless to say, I did not suck my thumb once after that night.
You were done.
I was like, damn.
That is good of your mom. Yeah. Nice. I would have stopped immediately.
Yeah. There's barks on rats.
There's barks on rats?
Yeah, little miniature bark measuring.
What's in those mango lassies we had? I tell you.
If you look down at the tracks and bark, you'll see rats running around there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Even though there's a third rail, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, we're immune.
You push the rat on the third rail, you get a free meal on your way home. Right. That's the problem.
I should dump my dog down there. She loves chasing rats.
Wow.
No. Because you like your dog, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
She does kill rats, though.
She does?
Yeah.
Something died in our attic last week.
Doesn't that species kill rats or something like that?
Mine certainly does.
Yeah. The species of...
She doesn't eat them, though. She
the
just,
species of dog, whatever kind your dog is.
Right.
That's one of the things they do.
Don't tell the audience. It's a secret.
Okay.
Anyway, she'll kill the rat immediately. She won't eat it or touch it or anything.
Okay.
She'll just kill it. Really? Hear a little squeak behind me. I look around. There's a dead rat sitting there.
That's awesome. Yeah. As you're walking your dog, she's killing rats.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have I guess there's no segue for what I can share. Okay. Maybe you should go next.
Well, I just have an item I posted for Steve.
Okay.
Remember last week, Steve talked about the Princess Bride. He kept quoting that one line over and over again.
Steve-O.
Steve-O, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. He's not Steve. That's
right.
Steve's someone in a different
Yeah, forget guy. That. That what, right. You know, he was talking about somebody else.
Anyway.
Yeah. This Steve-O.
So I found a video of that segment of the Princess Bride with his quote, but redone with what are they called?
Lightsabers.
Lightsabers, right.
Right, right. It's it's when Inigo pulls the mystery band up at the top of the hill and he's waiting for the sword fight.
Right.
You know, it's great. Right.
But they do the sword. Yes, the exact thing.
Yeah, it's great. And they have sparks right. flying. And,
right.
And Mark got that from you in a previous episode. You were saying something.
Hello, like, my name is Inigo Montoya.
Right.
You killed my father. Exactly. Prepare to die.
That's what made me think about posting that item. Right.
Hello, you ate my mango lassi. Prepare to die.
I had a sweet lassi. It is not sweet anymore.
It is in my stomach.
So we're nearing the end. I will wrap up my list of items with something that's actually useful, unlike this podcast. The ultimate list of free essential software. I'll post this in the show notes. This is basically a list of PC software that is free but absolutely useful. I've done this before in previous episodes where I post lists of software that are free.
What's for PCs? Does anyone use PCs anymore?
Let's see here. Try to see.
Nobody uses an Apple.
It's not for that Windows thing, is it?
This is that Microsoft thing called Windows.
Oh, okay.
DOZE. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are all PC-based applications, but they are probably the best of the free software available. One is the Ubuntu operating system, which Steve-O lived on that for a while.
Yep, I used it for a few months.
You're okay with that? It wasn't Windows.
I liked everything about it, but not that specific one, because it was really hard to get into things.
Okay.
Because you had to, like, go over to the left and then try to figure out the right one button and stuff like that. Because it was a little trickier to use. I would probably have rather had a different Linux system.
Okay.
But c'est la vie. It was still easy. My computer ran quite quickly.
Yeah. That's one of the benefits of Linux. So a lot of these apps people will recognize. AVG's free antivirus, which is still quite good to use. There's a personal firewall called Komodo, although I think the one that comes with Windows 10 is fine. There's Firefox web browser.
Not Chrome. Chrome is also free.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. However, there are some inconsistent. There are some non. There's like some problems that you can run into with websites that are written for WebKit that Chrome doesn't support for some reason.
Okay.
So Firefox will support more of those websites. There's Mozilla Thunderbird, Picasa, we all know those. A music player and organizer from Mozilla called Songbird. GIMP, which is the famous drawing app. And then a tool that I am not familiar with, but I think I'm going to check it out. A screen capture and recording tool for free called Cam Studio. Cam Studio allows you to create and convert video files. And it apparently makes streaming video or streaming AVI files very, very compact.
Should I list that I've downloaded that onto my computer on my dating sites?
Of course.
You know, it's always good to be honest.
No, not that one. However, VMC and Audacity you want to list.
Yeah. How about screen capture for quickies? That'd be a good one to list.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, that's one of them,
Thanks. Oh, my God, it is. Thanks for taking that to a place I didn't really need to take it.
Nice. And then, of course, Notepad++.
Right.
I don't know about this Aptana HTML editor.
Yeah.
I've never played with that. I have heard the name, but anyway. So, yeah, take a look at that. Enjoy. Don't say I never gave you anything for free.
You never gave me anything for free.
I gave you some things for free. Wait a minute.
Yeah, but I got a shot to clear most of that up.
Wow. Nicely done.
My watch wants me to stand up. What should I do?
You should, because we're going to come to an end here.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Watch. I'm not quite ready yet.
Again, thank you all for listening to the show. It's www.slurpcast.com, unless you're listening to it on the Facebook page, in which case it's facebook.com/slurpcast.
Right. And be sure to like the page, so you'll get all kinds of articles throughout the day about tech tips and humor and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be working on getting people to come back to your site. I don't know.
Please come back to our site, please.
We have a lot to learn. We don't know these internet things, whatever. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay.
Bye.